Parshas Toldos, you see in the first Rashi, the Rashi told us, Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak, these are the generations of Yitzchak. And Rashi says, Yaakov Ve'esav Amurim B'Parsha. And immediately we're astounded by this Rashi. What is Rashi telling us? All we have to do is read the Pesukim further on, and it tells us explicitly that they will have twins. So what does Rashi add that we wouldn't have known? I would say that what Rashi is trying to show us here is that we might think when you have a son, a Rasha like Esav, you disown him, you give up on him. What are you going to do? He doesn't listen, he doesn't want to behave. You give him chances, and he's getting worse. What the Torah is showing us, and that we all must know, parents, teachers, anyone who can have an influence on someone, you can never give up. There is always hope. You have to love him as you would any child, no matter what. And as we see from Tanakh, in fact we had it recently, Yishmael, he went off to Derech, but what happened at the end? He came back, he did tshuva, he became a tzaddik. One of the many instances that Baruch Hashem you see that it paid off. Avram Avinu never gave up hope on him, was makar of him always and loved him. Like we know by the Akedah, when Hashem said, the son that you love, says Yishmael, also didn't exclude him. To him it was the same, the Ahava. And that's what we are seeing here also, what Rashi is telling us. Yitzchak, of course, the same way. Never giving up, never stop loving him. Because there's always hope. And it says in Pasuk Chav Beis, Ve'yisotzu abonim b'kirbo. And Rashi gives in one shot that when she passed the house on Avodah Zarah, he would run after that to get out. And when she would pass the house of Torah, there would also be a running to get out. So she thought, boy, she must have a problem child here. What goes on? We can also ask that even after the fact that we know they were twins, we know, as the Gemara says, that the Yetzer Hara comes at birth. Before that, there is no Yetzer Hara. So how would this happen, that you see Esav would go after the Avodah Zarah if he had no Yetzer Hara? So we can say that that is true. But Hashem made an exception here. He wanted to show the Yetzer of these children what would happen after she gives birth, later on in life. Why? So one of the reasons we might be able to say is the fact that he wanted her to know this in order that she should be aware of it have the scar of trying her best to overcome it, overcoming the nisyonos with such a child also, love him also, as we see at the end of the parsha, aim, she was considered the aim, and Rashi says in Yudea why it says that, of course she was the aim, but to show you that no matter what, like we said at the beginning, Rivka also was a true mother, the Torah way, to never give up, and she still loved him also. But she had to know what she's dealing with. Not to be fooled in any way as Yitzhak Avinu was. Hashem wanted to make sure that one of them was not fooled at all. To know what to deal with. And also it mentions another pshat that Rashi brings from Chazal, that what was the Yitzro Tzitzu? That they were arguing on the inheritance of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. We can understand, of course, Yaakov Avinu's position, but Esav? Sure, Olam Hazeh, but what does he have to do with Olam Haba? So pshat given for that is that Esav thought that he could be the zvulum, the partnership of the Torah that's learned by Yaakov Avinu. And for that support, he would gain Olam Haba. But of course, Yaakov Avinu still argued, because if you have to depend on an Esav for support, achen vei. And in fact, later on in the parsha, that's one of the pshatim given for Yitzhak Avinu. We learned that he wasn't fooled completely by Esav. What was his kavanah for the bracha? The same way. But again, Rivka knew that not to depend on Esav for support. Then, of course, when she's bothered about this child that she thinks has big problems, she goes, the Pasuk says, to the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Eivah. And we learn an unbelievable truth of Emunah from this. Because if you notice, the Pasuk says, she went Lidros es Hashem. And the next Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem lo. She's going to the Rosh Yeshiva of her time to seek an answer. And what does the Pasuk tell us? To her, and that's the way we have to, of course, know, understand, believe. That's Emunas Chachamim, Pshat. Emunas Chachamim is that you have the Emunah, that what they're telling you is not their own Deya. It's the Deya of Hashem, as he put forth in the Torah. That is Pshat of Emunas Chachamim. And that's what the Pasuk is showing also. Lidros, you came to Lidros as Hashem. Whatever they would tell her, she knew it was directly from Hashem. It was Hashem's will that they were telling her. Someone asked me, Chaira, why would she go and ask by the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Eivah when she had such an illustrious father-in-law, Avraham Avinu, husband, Yitzchak Avinu? And I said that Lanias Daiti, I would say that she didn't want to give them any tzar. If it's as she suspected that a problem child, and even as she was told that they're twins, still, there's a problem here. Why give them tzar? if it's not needed. It's enough that she should know. And when it describes the birth of the twins and the maisa of the lentil stew which was given to Esav, it's interesting that we find that at this time is when he's called Edom because of the lentil dish that he was given. We can ask, we know from the Pesukim that he was red even before that. So why wouldn't he be called red from then, from birth? Was it afterwards? Why only now, after he was bar mitzvah? So the Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that we see from the Pesukim that it was only after the bar mitzvah where they were certain that Esav was going on the wrong derech. Before that, as we know, even tzaddikim as children, the children, not a shezachim that they do, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they will continue when they grow up into adulthood. So that's pshat. But here, after Esav was bar mitzvah, he still kept up, does not good things, and he decided to continue on the evil path. Then was a time to be called red, to show the nature what he is choosing. The Torah tells us afterwards that when there's another famine in Yitzchak's time, and he goes to the land of the Plishtim, and Hashem speaks to him and says in Pasuk Hey, Egev asher shama Avram bekoli vayishmor mishmarti mitzvosaychu kusay v'sorosoy. One of the reasons he's giving him the blessing and the land is because of his father who followed in Hashem's ways completely. And it's an interesting lashon for because, Ekev, which we have a parsha later on, as we know, the third parsha in Chumash Dvarim, Ekev, the name of the parsha also. And the Rosh Shimon Kol Dodi gives a pshat for this word Ekev. As Rashi says, Ekev is the heel, the extremity. In fact, Yaakov being called by that name because he held on to the heel of Esav, but that's the shoresh of his name, and we could apply what we're going to say now to him in essence also, to show what Yaakov Avinu was. And Rosh Hashiva explains that Ekev as the extremity, the utmost, to show that he did the utmost, not just what the din requires, but to fulfill the will of Hashem. As you love someone, and if you really love them, you want to do even something that they don't ask of you, but you know they want it. You know that they would be very happy if you did it. You do it. And this was the utmost. To the utmost. Not only what the minimum requirement was, but to the utmost of the ability, no matter what it was, if Hashem wanted it, they would do it. That was the greatness of the Avos, and which Hashem would want of all of us, of course. Like the Gemara says that one of the reasons Yerushalayim was destroyed, because they were satisfied and wanted just what the Din says, never going beyond that. And if that's the level, that the only level you want, Chas V'Shalom, is a dangerous level. Especially the reasoning behind it. Because if you truly want to fulfill the will of Hashem, you'll want to do the utmost, even beyond the letter of the law. Because, of course, Hashem would be very pleased by that. And then, after Yitzchak was so successful in the Eretz Plishtim, and they were getting very jealous, and Abimelech asks him to leave. So we see that after he leaves and he digs some wells of water, and it describes how in the first well of water the shepherds of Eretz Plishtim complain because of this jealousy that is abound here. That they said it belongs to them. And Yitzchak Avinu names the well Esek, argument, because of this. So he moves and he digs another well, and then again they fight about it and say that it's theirs. And he calls the name of that well Sitna, hatred. And then finally, he has relief without any arguments. And the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, the Moshe and Darash Moshe, learns out a very important lesson of life from this incident. He tells us, you notice how at first it's called Esek, argument, and then hatred. What that is showing us is what happens, Rachman al-Islan, in general, when there's a machlekes. At first, people rationalize, even if they'll go to Besdin with arguments, trying to find the way that they will win the case. But if it doesn't stop, if they continue, they're not satisfied with the decision, Chas V'Shalom, or a similar instance, then what happens, as the Mishnah says in Avos, Aveda Gereres Aveda, they drop any pretense of any rationalization, anything, and all that becomes is hatred comes to the fore. Forget about arguments, forget about reasons for this. It's just hatred, pure hatred, that blinds the person to seeing the right thing. That's why it's so important to catch all negative things in the bud, that it never progresses into worse and worse incidents. Then we come to the Maisa of the Brachos, Yitzchak giving. And many a time people ask, sincere way, what's going on here? Even though his mother tells him Yaakov should impersonate Esav and get the brachos, but this is the honest, straightforward Yaakov. How could he do such a thing? How could it be permitted to be such a cheat? Chas v'shalom. And I always think the way I feel to understand this is to take just one incident in our most recent history, Hitler Yimach Shemo. What would you say if someone had the opportunity to assassinate Hitler before he did all his evil, or at least after he started, so he shouldn't continue? Except there's one problem. In order to do that, he would have to impersonate a Nazi general. Getting plastic surgery, whatever it might be. I'm sure we would all agree that we would pin the biggest medals on him. A ticker tape parade on Broadway. He'd get the biggest mitzvah. And even more so, if he didn't do it and he had the opportunity, he would get the biggest aveira. Can you imagine what he would be accomplishing in such an act? That's how you have to think of it with this Esav here. Esav himself knew the power of the bracha of a tzaddik, as we see later on when he saw that he missed out and he cries so bitterly. But that power of that bracha, chas v'shalom, in the hands of an Esav, in the hands of a Hitler Yimach Shemai, we all know what can happen. As for instance, the atomic bomb, if the Nazis, chas v'shalom, would have had gotten it before America. Among many examples similar to that. That's how you have to know. Bigger than the atomic bomb, the power of a bracha that would have been given by Yitzchak Avinu, chas v'shalom, to Esav. And when Rivka convinces Yaakov Avinu to do this, one of the things she says is because he's afraid if he's found out, he'll get a klolad and not a bracha. And she tells him in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Alai kelelascha b'ni, that upon her will be the curse. We can ask, what kind of answer is that? She can change it? Is she going to change it if he would be getting a klal instead of that bracha, and just by her saying that it should be on her, will that do the trick? And the Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that we can learn also that pshat, and when she says alai kelelascha b'ni, what she's telling him is, do you think that just because it might, chas v'shalom, happen to you, it's not as if it's exactly as if I would be getting the klala, chas v'shalom? How dearly I love you in it. It would be the same thing, even worse. It would be upon me. I thought of everything, and I understand what's here, and the risks are as exactly the way I love you as if I myself are in that same sakana. And still I'm telling you, this is what has to be done. And that goes deeply into the lave of Yaakov Avinu, that he sees the truth of that, and when she says that, convinces him also to carry out the mission. One of the things that Yitzchak Avinu tells Yaakov, when he hears that it's the voice of Yaakov, and Rashi explains, because he uses the name of Hashem, he says, please. But the Yadayim Yedei Esav, when he feels him, it's the hands of Esav. So I heard b'shem a Rosh Yeshiva of one of the Hester Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael that gave a beautiful pshat in this Hakol Kol Yaakov, and we can understand it with these. We know in the Hester Yeshivas they learn and they also do the soldiering. And this was a beautiful vart and chizik for them. When he told his Talmidim, Hakol Kol Yaakov, you're learning. When you're doing the learning, when you're fulfilling the will of Hashem, and your prayers, your tefillahs, when you do that, you will get the bracha that if you need it, your hands will be like the hands of Esav, which got the bracha of the cherev. Because you're fulfilling the will of Hashem the way you're supposed to, you don't have to worry if it's needed. And the bracha, of course, I will say, they should never even need it. But if chas v'shalom it would come to that, they will have the bracha even of Yadayim Yedei Esav in Hashem. We have at the end of the parasha, in the middle of Shishi, that Esav, when he finds out that he missed out on the bracha, the pasuk says, "Vayitzak sarkar gedolo mora." He cried out a great and bitter cry, ad ma'od, very much, as we explained before. We have an interesting medrash. It says by Mordechai at the beginning of Perek Dalet and Gilas Esther that we have the similar lashon. It says, "Vayizak zaka gedola umara," and the Medrash says, "One was gorim the other." The fact that Yaakov Avinu caused this crying of Esav was one reason why, by Mordechai, there was this Zaka Gedola Umara. So of course we can ask, why in the world would there be such a goyim? Especially like we explained before, it's the biggest mitzvah what Yaakov Avinu did, not to let such a rasha have that bracha. So why would that be any kind of goyim for Mordechai HaTzadik later on in history? So Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains beautifully that we have to understand when someone has to do something, for instance, in this incident, taking away the bracha, not letting it winding up by a rasha, whatever we have to do, we have to do. But what are our feelings about it? Do we also have feelings that ach and vey, it had to be like this? Ach and vey, that he chose the bad derech, that my brother Esav is going the wrong way and this is what has to be done? Or is, of course, Yaakov Avinu didn't have it in this far out way, so to speak, as I'm contrasting it. But does one have a feeling of great glee and rejoicing? The fact that, ha ha ha, I got him. He lost out. Of course, to rejoice in a positive way that the Russia didn't get it, but also to have those feelings of remorse that this poor fellow has chosen the evil path. So with Yaakov Avinu, of course, it wasn't that glee in that sense. But lefum, the greatness of the tzaddik, each one according to their level, we could say there was some mashahu whatever, and of course it's only taken to task for his madrega, that he didn't have maybe enough of that remorse that he should have felt of his brother being in such a madrega that he was and having to lose the bracha because of it. May we all be zeicher in kol olam kuloi to only do the Ritzon Hashem bein bekavana, bein bediva, bein b'maisu, in all things, tamid mi'atavi yad olam.